everybody, and welcome back to Our Blue Bahamas. I am joined today by Heather Brockback and Jasmine Colley, and I am so delighted to have Brief going to be telling us some more about their amazing program. So I think just for any new listeners, can you just let us know a little bit about what Brief is?
Yep. So Brief is a marine educational nonprofit organization that was founded in 1994 by Sir Nicholas Nuttall over the concern of the declining state of our marine resources. So important key species such as queen conch and Nassau grouper that we as Bahamians adore and love, and really bringing light to some of the challenges that they're facing and how we can protect our fisheries for future generations. And so building on top of that, Brief has now become, we just celebrated our 30-year anniversary, and we've become one of the lead environmental education organizations in the Bahamas, especially focusing on educating students and civic organizations on how they can protect and conserve their marine environment.
Fantastic, Heather. Thank you so much. Now, I know that there's a lot of work that Brief does with youth in general throughout the entire archipelago. Can you tell me a little bit about what, I guess these are the Students for Environmental Action program, what it entails, what's going on with these things?
We are excited to tell you about our Students for Environmental Action program. For short, it is C, our C program.
Love it.
It is actually, it's fairly new. It's our, one of our newest programs. It's a pilot program. We saw the need to address the gap, and also, it was also a fusion of opportunity as well, because there was a grant available for an after-school program from the Lyford Key Foundation, and we used that opportunity to address one of our gaps, especially in the public schools where we have less persons involved in our program. So we used that opportunity to launch this pilot program at C.R. Walker School, and it was amazing.
So tell me what it is. Like, what gap is it addressing? Like, give me some more of the insight. It sounds like it's exciting, but
yes.
I still don't know enough.
Okay, so it's a program where students would learn how to be safe in the water. It teaches water safety. It teaches them how to snorkel, and it also gives them a foundational knowledge on a lot of environmental concepts of, like, they learn about mangroves, they learn about coral reefs, and especially how it sustains our way of life. So they grow and then also, what's so special about this, they actually get a CPR certification as well.
Great.
So it's building capacity, and it's also teaching a lot of Bahamian environmental knowledge.
So it sounds like a very interesting mix of very practical, very useful sides. Swimming experience, increased capacity there, CPR, literally knowing potentially how to save a friend or a family member's life, along with the theoretical of why are mangroves important, right? I mean, things that I think everybody can appreciate, the easy stuff. Oh, we need to have pretty oceans and pretty reefs because we have tourists. Like, everybody can do some basic connections, but like, people like filling mangroves in. And until that education is out there, starting with our youth, it's really difficult to get across society. So I love this. Tell me again how, so the inspiration for this was seeing that there was a funding opportunity. Would that be that mixed with the fact that there was this gap in some of the schools?
Yes. So we tend to have a lot of a low turnout within the government schools.
Yeah.
In interest in our programs. And a lot of that has to do with there's still a stigma, and it affects a stigma around the ocean and going into the water,
right.
And it still affects a lot of policies within public schools.
I assume,
yes,
too,
definitely.
Right? Like, it's
fear. It's not being able to. It's a lack of knowledge, not knowing how to be in the marine ecosystem safely.
Yeah.
So when we do get opportunities to, in some schools, they tend to take more in-class options than experiential activities, which is like the foundation of many of our programs.
And I, again, that was a long time ago, but I'm trying to put myself back in like my 15-year-old body and mind. And it seems like in general, whether it's Outward Bound or some of these classic programs that exist out there in other countries, we know that when youth are given this opportunity to push themselves, especially in physical sort of environments that they're not comfortable with, that it can really lead to incredible development in other areas. You can see that the child that is being given access to, whether if it's in the United States, I don't know, go learn how to kayak on a river, that then that child's grades will often actually see improvement too. Are we seeing this type of, I don't want to call it development, but almost that extra development happening, that by providing them one thing, they're excelling then in others?
Yeah, so like you said, when you really expose these students to new opportunities and new things they haven't done yet, it really breeds an environment of growth, and it really encourages them to try out new things that they've never tried before. So when we started the C program with the first set of CR Walker students, we encouraged them to come out to our events, snorkels, beach cleanups, things yep. like that. And we even saw the turnout as they started the program. They started coming out to our events, learning how to snorkel, even on sessions that weren't mandatory, which was really an eye-opener
for us.
Oh,
I love that.
Yes. And even in their schools, they're taking initiative now that they've been informed on what we're experiencing in our environment and the challenges that we're facing. They're starting initiatives in their eco club, gardening, and really pushing these initiatives because they know and they have a reason to really care for it. And they've yeah. built a passion through learning about their marine environment and even just being immersed in their marine environment. And so really having that eye opener and seeing what's underwater and what we're protecting really, really encourages them to spread it to their communities and even in their schools.
And through that spread, in my mind, this is also therefore encouraging them to be leaders in their community. So is that also something that we're seeing, that they're going to be willing to speak out and help maybe other students in other schools that haven't had this experience? Are we seeing some of that too?
Yeah, we've actually had them spread the word. So a lot of Excellent. Their fellow classmates are really interested in joining this this cohort. And unfortunately, we couldn't accommodate everybody, but we love the enthusiasm. We love to see that kids are excited to join programs like these and really breaking down that fear that Jasmine spoke about that's associated with marine programs. Yeah. And then we've also had a lot of student leaders come out of our last cohort that became prefects because they've started working on additional initiatives in their schools as well.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
And I would also like to add, I love that you asked, is there any other opportunities that they came out of the program with? I would like to know two of our persons who were in our first cohort. One became a Best Scholar.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, but now, I know that the podcast has covered Best Scholars before, but just give a little recap for anybody who doesn't know about this incredible opportunity.
So our Best Scholarship program is a gap year program where it's more in-depth, where students would learn environmental leadership as well, but it goes further, where it has a research element. It has a 100-day semester at the island school.
Eleuthera. Little girl from Gregorytown, always yeah. excited about.
Yes, yeah, it's also like that transition into college years. So it's like a graduating senior that would be in this program.
Which is also so great, just noting that so many Bahamians are so much younger than their American or Canadian counterparts, or Brits, I'm sure, when they go off to college. So giving us that year to sort of get grounded
yes.
in being away from home, learning all these incredible aspects that you're saying go into the environmental scholarship program. I love this. So one of the SEA
yes,
program went on to BESS.
Went on to BESS, and then another SEA actually was our volunteer for our sea camp, the following sea camp.
Oh, great.
And so she was a camp leader, and so she that was a, so we saw like a wave movement where she was inspired, and now she's inspiring younger kids.
And when did this start? When was your first cohort?
Our first cohort would have been the beginning of this year, the beginning of 2025.
So January.
Yes, really the first semester of 2025.
So I don't even remember. So is this the third cohort?
This
then?
Is the first cohort. So we do it within the semester, the traditional.
So now before, in September.
Yes, so this would be our second cohort.
Second, okay.
Yes.
Got it. And what is sort of the relationship between that first cohort and the second cohort now? Is there any interaction between those two groups, or is it, you know, do any of the former ones mentor the new ones? Like, how does that go?
I am so glad you asked, because at first when we were designing this program, we were like, okay, we get our group and then we would have a whole next cohort coming in. But based on the enthusiasm from the first cohort, because this CR Walker goes from grade 10 to 12, our previous 10th graders was like, hey, we're still interested into it. So we have a group of persons who would have been in the previous cohort. And this year, we're actually introducing another school.
Oh.
Yes.
Who?
So we're
having a secret, or are we allowed to put this out there?
And what I like about this, so CR Walker is a senior high school, and this year joining would be a junior high school.
Ooh.
Yes, which is DW Davis.
Fantastic.
So it's going to have that transitionary buddy
and I'm
paired
so glad
learning.
With how we filter up. Is DW the one that filters up that the you go from there onto CR Walker? It's that flow, right?
Okay, yes. Perfect. Yes.
So just, I guess we were talking about all the super positives, right? But we started this off with saying that one of the reasons maybe there was lower participation in some schools was because of, you know, lack of confidence in being in the ocean, outright fear, which is different from just lack of confidence. Maybe just not having had accessibility, right?
Like, exactly.
There's a lot of families where that's not what you get to go do on the weekend, right? Like, you got to work, you got to do this, nobody's got a ride for you. How do you guys address that? Like, it's my first time going into the dark water, you know, which is just seagrass, but still, that can be scary, you know? How do you guys help them maybe get over their fear? Could be excitement, but I think for some, it's got to be fear.
Yeah, so funny you mentioned that. So last cohort, we actually had a few students who were even a bit timid to put their face in the water, have the water touch their ears.
Yeah.
And so this is really a process. We're taking it really slow, and we have to gauge each person's skill level, because you have to understand, like you said, some students aren't even familiar with Sonder speech.
Right.
And so really putting them in these new environments, you first have to understand they're going to be nervous. They're not going to really show it. And so we really like to create an environment where they feel safe. We give them all of the information. We brief them on how to safely enter the water, snorkel about in the water, basically traverse the water and what not to touch, things like that. And I think through their experience, we can kind of, like Jasmine said, create a wave to kind of combat that fear of the ocean,
right.
And really bring it back to homes and communities and schools where they can see that they're having so much fun and be like, I feel like I'm missing out. Maybe I should look into some of Brief's programs. Or even with our community snorkels, we're trying to reach more into our community for people who may be nearby. And we change the location. Sometimes we're at Sonder Beach. Sometimes we're more out west. But we really do want to really break down this fear associated with the ocean and really let people experience it.
Let me just tap into that for a second. Again, we might have some new listeners. So I'm listening. I want my 12-year-old who is scared because I'm scared as a mom, how do I reach out to Brief? Like, how do I know what you guys are doing when there is a community snorkel or a community event? Like, what are my best ways to keep in contact with you and be updated on what's going on?
Yeah, so first of all, we definitely encourage everyone, regardless of your question, regardless of your skill level, to reach out to us. If you are interested in getting involved, we have many opportunities to get involved, even if you're not quite a water person.
Yeah.
But particular to the water, we usually post our flyers for our community snorkels on our Instagram and Facebook pages, our social media. We also have a volunteer group chat.
How do I find you on social media, though? Don't just leave me hanging.
I'm getting there.
Do you know what your handle is, I think is the correct term?
So it's Brief242 on all platforms.
That's very handy. Nice.
So you can find us at Brief242, or we also post on our website at brief.org with our flyers for our upcoming events. And then we also have a newsletter as well that you can sign up for. So there's a lot of ways that you can get informed with what we're doing at Brief. And again, I said you can email us at brief@brief.org or call our office at 327-9000.
Perfect. Okay, so another thing that I think would then, so I'm a teacher and I'm listening. And you've talked about doing like field trips, you just mentioned. Like, what's that? Like, how would I find out about other ways that maybe I can't have a whole cohort of my students in there, but there is an opportunity for my students to have sort of this experiential learning?
Okay, definitely. We do have a field trip program, which happens, we have a fall block and we have a spring block.
Okay.
So what we would do is we have a booking link where you can either book a mangrove tour, a coral reef snorkel, or we can come to you. We can bring the environment to you. We'll come and do an interactive class presentation where you can learn about these ecosystems in a really, really fun way. It's not the traditional way.
Yes.
So don't be surprised if we come to your class with a conch. A live conch with its eyes poking out, and we actually have a nice time to go over the anatomy and actually learn a lot about the ecosystem and about this animal, which we call such a key species. And it's so, so.
And brings back home, right, that this original inspiration for Brief was partially born out of the fact that we all like to eat grouper and conch, right?
Exactly.
And the hard reality is if we want our children and grandchildren to also be able to eat them, we really do and enjoy them in all the ways we do. We really do need to protect them so that we can continue to have them commercially available to us.
Definitely.
Okay, so you know what I wanted to ask was, how many are in a cohort? Is this like 5 students? You have 10? Like,
We have...
Because I have no idea on these numbers.
We have, actually, the first cohort was 20 persons. And now 30 persons. And the second cohort is going to be 40 persons.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, so that will accommodate 20 from both schools. So that would be C.R. Walker and D.W. Davis.
Okay, so this is amazing. The 40 is a much larger group than I would have expected. Taking these students to be in such a immersive experience has got to be expensive. So say I'm listening to this and I really think this is a great opportunity. Do I again just reach out to you at Brief at the 327-9000 or message you on one of the social media?
Yes, definitely.
Learn how I can donate, or would you be interested in volunteers assisting you with these programs? Like, I'm just trying to think, how do we get more Bahamians involved in what I really do think is a very groundbreaking educational experience?
I am so glad that you ask, because we have one of our biggest issues right now is scaling.
Yeah.
Because right now, when we did the first pilot program, the first cohort, we were still unsure how it would have, the turnout would have been. Now it's like, okay, we want to continue on. Other schools want to continue on, but you know, our capacity is limited. So they can, if you have any, if you want to donate to Brief, you can reach out to us at brief.org, brief@brief.org, Or you can call in on 327-9000 and somebody will guide you through the process.
And then, and just as a reminder for listeners, the folks we're listening to right now are Heather and Jasmine. So they're going to know what you're talking about. If you call up and you're saying, hey, I was listening to our Blue Bahamas and I want to help with the SEA program, the C program.
Yes. Okay, and so we're always, always, always looking for volunteers. And don't be shy if you're not a water person. I know a lot of persons believe that you have to have a scuba certification or have been probably a fish hybrid in order to get involved.
No merman requirement here.
No mermaids. But if you are one, please reach out.
Yes.
But simply as just helping us with coordination, logistics, we welcome all helps. Okay. And all help, yes.
Super. And I would just say again for listeners, like, I've been lucky enough to be able to be involved in volunteer for some of the programs that Brief does. And it is such a rewarding experience for you as the volunteer. You go in thinking that you're giving something to those that you are volunteering with, but in reality you are taking it on yourself. You get all the benefit of really seeing remarkable changes go on. And you do actually see it between the morning when folks start, and then later that afternoon you can even see differences in individuals. So Heather, tell me more.
Yeah, I wanted to highlight our volunteer network. I am so thankful every time we have people volunteering with us and coming out at our events, because volunteers are really the backbone of a lot of our initiatives and our events, really having that extra support. Because at Brief, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, we're a team of about 5 to 6 people.
Yeah.
And so we're taking the steam engine and running full force, but we can't go without our help of our volunteers and all of the people that support us with all of our events, regardless of if it's in water, out of water, in the office, helping with gear. Our volunteers are our true pride and joy.
Yeah.
So we want to thank our existing volunteers. And then, like Jasmine said, we really want to encourage more people to get involved, especially high school students. There's a lot of opportunities to get volunteer hours, even just helping us at our snorkel with getting people geared up or things like that. And so regardless of your skill level, like I said, come out and support. Find the way you can get involved.
And I guess, you know, one of the things that I find that when I explain to some of my friends overseas that we do have this sadly low proportion of Bahamians who are super comfortable with the ocean and do know how to swim and all of these, and they're like, you're surrounded by ocean, how is this not possible? But the reality is, if I do live in the middle of New Providence and I don't have a car, it's not just like, oh, let me just go walk the 4 miles to the ocean in our weather, in our everything, right? In our honestly still slightly dangerous roads, all of the things that go along with it. So how does Brief ensure that, I'm big on equity, I'm an economist, but like, how do we ensure that these programs are going to be available to our most vulnerable populations, right? That I don't want this to be, it's like, oh, you got to be middle class or above to be able to come down to the beach and be a part of the activities. Like, is there anything that Brief is doing to sort of help ensure that underserved populations are able to access these programs?
Yeah, so I agree with you. I definitely agree that equity is definitely important, especially when it comes to marine education and knowing about your environment, because those are the communities that are uneducated on what we're experiencing because they just don't have that opportunity to be educated. And so with our programs, we really have a focus, especially with our limit on field studies. It's a 2-limit booking because we really want to encourage government schools to apply. And regardless of spring and fall, you'll hear about it soon. Yeah. But we really, really, really are urging government school teachers to reach out even for a presentation. It doesn't have to be a field trip out in the environment where it might be logistically concerning.
Yeah.
we can come to your school. We come straight to you. We'll bring the conch to your classroom.
Right, I love that.
Bring
a conch to your classroom. I think there should be our new hashtag.
Yeah, we'll do a little virtual coral reef tour. So there's a lot of opportunities, and we really, really want to stress reaching underserved communities. We've actually been working with the Flamingo Gardens Family Life Center to do an after-school program as well with the school near that center, as well as the adult sessions. So, and any public service organizations who would like similar presentations, we are also offering presentations to civic organizations or any community center that's interested in really elevating their community or even just getting them involved on the education and awareness of what's happening in our environments.
Fantastic. And Jasmine, I think you have something else to
add. Just wanted a quick plug in with the C program, and is a reason why I absolutely love this program. We offer transportation. We noticed that that's a huge gap.
No, because this is a real issue, right?
We offer transportation and lunch within this one particular program, because I know for our field studies, the school or organization that's responsible is responsible for getting their transportation to the site.
Right.
But with the C program, Brief takes on that extra logistical concern.
Okay.
So, and because of that, we have a tremendous turnout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense. I mean, transportation is a real, real, real issue, right? And so the more, and putting a plug out there again for anybody who wants to donate, you know, if you have a bus service or that type of thing, remember that there's always, if you ever have any downtime, there's always good programs. Brief is doing one of them right now. But it's so important, because the inequity that has existed in the past, we don't want that pushing forward into the future. I do know that we are wrapping up this wonderful session shortly, but I wanted to get from each of you separately what you've taken away from being a part of the C program. Like, how has it changed you? We've talked about how it's changing the students out there, but do you find that it's had any impact on you as individuals? Jasmine, let's start with you.
Oh my goodness. I think what I love about the C program, and any program where it's your first time and you get to see that first time, and it's charm of actually seeing a blue tang, I get to relive that first time experience time after time, and it's amazing to be a part of that for someone else.
I wish you all could see how her eyes are glowing. They're literally glowing.
Yeah. So, you know, being a part of someone's core memory, and, you know, that this is where their journey for loving and appreciating the environment starts. So I think that's what I take away from it.
Heather, tell me.
All right. Personally, not being so far removed from high school and having done a similar program, I am so excited for them. I know what the possibilities are from programs like this. I did a program like this in high school, and I went on to work at Brief because that's where the passion was really sparked. And so I'm hoping through my education of these students and through them going through the CPR program, I'm inspired by them, and it's a little nostalgic for me in my little heart, because I am so excited to see what they're going to do and what they can accomplish. And I know through this program, we're opening so many doors in their minds to other avenues that they could pursue, not only for careers, but for public service, or even just for something that they care about or something that they keep in the back of their minds for life. And so programs like these really just, like Jasmine said, sparks a fire under these kids. And it's so amazing, like she said, to see the first experiences, but also just seeing how they work together, and it really brings them closer together, especially across age groups as well. So I'm really excited to see what they accomplish and where they go.
Fantastic. And I think this is just the perfect way to wrap up this podcast. Thank you to both of you for sharing your insights. And everybody, just do remember, you can go to brief.org to see when there's other community events going on. Contact them on any of the social media at Brief242. And that is Brief, B-R-E-E-F, 242, or give them a call, 327-9000, to find out what is going on at Brief and how you can be a part of it. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.